Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Brian Gieber joining me on the phone now, former Winnipeg Blue Bomber. He's heavily involved in the Saskatoon minor football area. Now, you're also a young dad. Like, you just had twin girls a year ago. They just had their first birthday. How's that going, my friend?
You know, for what's been maybe a slow year for everybody, it was one of the fastest years of my life. And they're both up and walking and running around. They're both walking before they're one. So they got mom and dad running all over the place.
Got your athleticism. How has fatherhood changed you and changed your life? Because a lot of it revolved around football. It's still involving football, but I'm sure priorities change a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like these two girls are pretty special. It's amazing how much you can get done on very little sleep. But yeah, no, it certainly made me think deeper about, you know, the future of football, and in particularly think even more about the growing of female football in our games, and you know, maybe our girls will get involved in that. But yeah, just keeping them out and active, and just how important it is to just be outside, get fresh air. In spite of the times that we're living in right now.
So give me the rundown in Saskatoon as we turn our attention to football. And by the way, just wrap up, don't want to be rude, congratulations to you and your wife. That's great to see. You're adding to our population, and who knows, maybe you got two, like you said, young female football players coming up. We can touch on that in a second. But Saskatoon high school football, along with other sports, has been mothballed for the fall. So how does that affect... like, how can you guys help out with Saskatoon minor football? Because I'll tell you what, man, my son was so fortunate to get his grade 12 year in, and that helped him get to his next level of football. I can't imagine if he didn't get his senior year in. My heart breaks for a lot of the kids in Saskatoon, and I don't even know if Regina is going to be able to pull it off. So what can Saskatoon minor football do to help these kids out?
Yeah, you know, our heart breaks for those senior kids, and we really put high school football on a pedestal. It's one of the most important things to us, and we just we want to do all we can to serve those kids, get them out, get them active, being healthy. And you know what, I got to give, I mean, I know it's been a disappointing announcement from SSSAD, but I think they looked at the restrictions put in and not being able to start practice till September 28th, and you know, I give them credit. They pulled the pin on the season, which, you know, made a lot of people upset, but at the same time it gave us the opportunity to step in and provide something for these kids that may not even get to play football if they left it in the hands of the high schools, because there's a lot of unknowns out there. And again, you got to give the schools, they got to put education first and what they're doing in the classroom and stuff like that, and to add another thing like coaching a football team and figuring out all the protocols around that, that's a big task for the education system and the admin and the teachers all involved. And fortunately, I sit in a position where I get to put football first in our lives. And so we've ran a couple of camps the last 2 weeks that went remarkably successful. We had great protocols in place, entrances, exits, sanitization, how we broke up our groups into cohorts, you know, who interacted with who. And we have a really good idea now it was a great learning experience, and we learned some ways to even improve on that. But we're gonna kick off a fall academy for our high school age kids, grades 10 through 12, is going to start with a positional development and identification process for 2 weeks. We're going to do a combine on September 10th, and then on September 14th, we're going to do 2 weeks practices. And again, we have the fortune of having guys like Brett Boyko and Patty Neufeld and Jorgen Hoos living in our city, and unfortunately, no CFL season for them means that they might get to give back to some of these kids and teach them some skills and go from there. So we're going to do this identification process, and then we're going to get together as a group of coaches that are really committed to coaching these young guys, and we're going to draft some teams. They're going to be six-a-side teams, so again, we're in compliance with the SHA guidelines and stuff like that. But you know, we're gonna film games. We're gonna hopefully bring in announcers, have stats, do do what these kids deserve to have done for them. I mean, there's going to be some bye weeks in place so that we can, you know, I think the term is scrub and make sure that they only practice within their team and perhaps see other teams in the future. And you know, as long as everybody continues what we have been doing in Saskatchewan, which is good, and be safe and diligent, you know what, I see us having a nice, you know, 4 or 5 game season. Lots of great practices. We're partnering with Ignite Athletic to give these guys some personal training. We're going to get lots of film up on Huddle and hopefully give them, you know, not what high school football is, but at least give them an opportunity to showcase their skills.
That is outstanding. Now, forgive me for being ignorant in this part. I shouldn't when I'm running a podcast like this, but I know Regina Minor Football has a spring football league, and there has been some talk that if they somehow can't go in the fall, you know, hopefully we could still make a full fall football or a fall football league in the spring where we could play our full schedule of a vaccine or whatever happens with the virus, which it's a very fluid situation. So that still could be a pie in the sky kind of thing, but it's out there. It's an option. Do you guys have a spring football league there in Saskatoon? And is that something maybe, you know, you're doing a great venture here and I really am impressed with what you're saying there, but is that something that's been talked about too, that if we can't do it in the fall, maybe we can have a full high school league in the spring, like they were talking in Regina here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, any and all options are certainly discussed. We're living in the world of hypotheticals right now, it seems. But I know the people that are passionate about football have discussed any and all options. But it's really lent itself to an opportunity to reinvent ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know, traditionally in the spring, there's U16 tryouts and Team Saskatchewan tryouts, and we would run our academy, and RMF would run their spring league. All of a sudden, you insert a high school football season in the spring. You know, how does that affect the other programs? Like there's lots of consequences to weigh, but I mean, everything's possible, right? Like maybe we look at new ways of identifying players and we look at new ways of, you know, getting film and sharing that and things like that. You know, if anything, I really think we've been a lot more prudent and improved our communication through COVID because we haven't been able to meet face to face. And so getting information out that people can consume easily has been something that we as an organization have really tried to do. And I've seen a lot of organizations really improve on that. So, I mean, as long as we're all talking, we're going to find solutions that work within, you know, I guess the situation that we're given. But people can rest assured that I know both in Regina and Saskatoon, there are passionate people who love football that are going to make it work. And the cool thing about football is we put safety first. We always have. So, and we've always had very structured practices. So just adding this component of, you know, the pandemic and added sanitization and hygiene concerns and things like that, you know what, it's just been adding one more thing that we're already used to prioritizing. You know, safety of our players comes first in everything we do, and we're just finding a way to add further protocols to make sure our kids are safe and they can enjoy the game they love.
Well, this guy's family is in good hands with Brian Giebert, and so is the Saskatoon football family with guys like him helping to organize something that's getting us out of this pandemic and trying to turn a bad situation into something good. Thanks for this, Brian. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Hi, this is Daryl from Butcher's Best. We'd like to thank all of our customers for the support over the last 17 years. It's been an awesome chapter in our life, but we are now closing and this is our final week. If you have gift cards to redeem, make sure you get it done by the end of the week because we are closing this Saturday, August 29th. For the last 17 years, Butcher's Best has been known for friendly faces and full counters, and we will continue to our last day. Even though we're closing, keep an eye out for us next summer.
Butcher's Best, 5552 Rochdale Boulevard. And joining me now for Ballsy's Pick 6 for our friends over at SaskSelects Football, building the stars of tomorrow today, where they have their 7-on-7 league firing up. Get the details at their Facebook page and their website. It's Hall of Famer Ben Cahoon, formerly of the Montreal Alouettes. How are you today, Ben?
I'm doing so good. Thanks so much for having me on, Michael.
I appreciate it, man. So where do we find you today?
I am in Utah. It's kind of been my home base for 30 years or so, since my family moved from Canada when I was a kid. And when I was playing, I was still back and forth from in Utah.
One of my favorite Ben Cahoon stories. It was at the end of your career. I took my young son to a game. Well, he was at the game. I was doing the sideline reporting, but he was sitting in front of one of your longtime friends, because my son, well, I got tickets to a friend where the visiting players sit, where their friends and family sit, and he was sitting in front of one of your friends, and they were talking throughout the whole game. So that's kind of a neat little story back in the day. My son grew up to be a Ben Cahoon fan, so that's awesome. So you're involved with protein bars now. Tell us what you're doing right now. I know you coached after you played, but you're in the health food game, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. And coaching is a brutal world, as you know, and it's just a matter of time before you get fired. And that happened to me. I was trying to decide whether to go back into coaching and was even entertaining a few opportunities up in Canada. But at that time, I was approached by G2G Protein Bar. It's a local company that I'm really familiar with. And they told me that I could take over Canada. They were launching into Canada in the process of that, and I could take over Canada. And that sealed the deal for me. So we did launch into Canada. It's a fantastic product, all natural, healthy, and most importantly, it tastes amazing. So we're expanding and growing in Canada, and I'm really enjoying working in the Great White North.
All right, so if people want to get that protein bar, how do they go about doing that, Ben?
Well, we do have a website. Anybody in Canada can purchase them on the website, gsgbar.ca. And on that website, we have a store locator that has retail. We're in about 450 retail locations. In Western Canada, all of the Circle K's should have us. We're a refrigerated protein bar. So look for us in a chiller or a fridge. Okay. And that's what sets us apart from, you know, the 2,000 other protein bars that are out there. It's just fresh, real food, and you'll taste the difference.
Awesome. Were you always a fitness nut, Ben Cahoon?
Well, I learned pretty early on in my career that I wasn't the most physically gifted. And so the one thing that did give me a competitive advantage was taking care of myself and my body. So, you know, I didn't party a lot, and I was lucky enough to go home from practice, and my wife would be there and usually have a nice, healthy dinner for me. So I think that made a big difference in my career and the ability to have a long career, just being able to recover each day from practice and games and not wearing yourself down by chasing the next party.
Yeah, no, for sure. Hey, I'm a white dude, you're a white dude, but I got to ask you this. What do you think about what's going on in the world and in the sports world as it relates to what's going on in the world? Should sports and politics and social justice mix, Ben Cahoon?
Wow, that's a loaded question. What's going on in the world is so sad, and I'm embarrassed about it, frankly. To answer it, my knee-jerk reaction is maybe, no, hey, you're getting paid to play a game, but I certainly have a ton of respect for anybody with the courage to take a stand for their beliefs. But I also absolutely expect there to be tolerance, not shame, for anybody who may disagree. So my preference would be, hey, lead by example, live your life in a way that is exemplary and, you know, showcases you are a public figure. Showcase your beliefs by the way you live your life. But it certainly takes courage for these guys to say they're not going to play a game. At the end of the day, I think you're an employee with a boss, and you're going to have to comply with the policies and rules of your organization or business at the end of the day. I can't necessarily just say I'm not showing up for work because I'm disturbed with what's going on in my town or my state. Or there will be ramifications for this, possibly for that, you know.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
luckily for these athletes, you know, their organizations are on board with them, but that is the risk you take.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Ben Cahoon, what can we, and I've asked other guys this, so I want your opinion. What can we take from a football locker room to today's society to help with human race? Because let's be honest here, you come from different backgrounds, different parts of the country, different countries. I've said before, different skin color, religion, political beliefs. But you guys all come together, and that Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, as we speak about the CFL, you put on the same jersey and you go battle for a championship, for a common goal. So I think we can find a lot of what ails us in society within the confines of a locker room. Do you agree or disagree with that? And what can we take from a locker room?
Oh man, I love that analogy. And it's so true. The locker room is just the most diverse place ever. And the great teams come together. They put their differences aside for 2 or 3 hours a day when you're practicing, and 3 or 4 hours a day during the games, and you become unified with a common goal. Michael, I've had text messages recently in the last month or two with my teammates on the East Coast, mm-hmm. and ended the texts with "love you, bro," and put my phone down and cried because mm-hmm. I don't know that respect and love was so genuine and sincere, and I just wish that the rest of the country felt that same way, and it blossomed and grew because of, you know, the locker room and the adversity we went through and how we came together. So
yeah, I think it's really neat. In a locker room, you're kind of forced to learn about that guy. Like, you're sitting next to, I don't know, you're sitting next to S.J. Green, and maybe you didn't know who S.J. Green was or where he came from, but you're sitting in that receiver kind of area, and you're forced to, by the surroundings, you're forced to get to know that guy. And I know we can't do that in society, but I think that's kind of the underlying thing. We have to find a way where we're going to sit down at a table instead of throwing rocks and burning stuff and shooting people and all that type of stuff, to actually sit down and listen to them and learn about them.
Absolutely. I love that. And for us, I didn't have to agree with the way a teammate lived his life off the field, or I could have disagreements with him the way he practiced or played. But you learn to overlook discrepancies, or you learn to address them appropriately with respect. And it is a good laboratory for society, really. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that I had 13 years, you know, in Montreal to develop perspective and amazing lifelong relationships with blood brothers.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good way to put it, Ben Cahoon. Okay, number four on Ballsy's Pick Six with the great Ben Cahoon. NFL is not playing preseason games because of COVID-19. How much did Ben Cahoon hate the preseason and training camp?
Training camp is brutal. Everybody hates training camp. Preseason games are, it just depends on where you are in your career. When I was early in my career, you look forward to them because you're trying to prove yourself. When you're a veteran, you think they're just a waste of time. You just want to remain healthy so you can get on with the regular season. But the NFL, well, no preseason is going to hurt rookies.
Right.
It's going to hurt the young players that are trying to earn a spot on the team because they're not going to get that exposure. And you can't replicate game speed and competition in practice, no matter how you try. So it's going to hurt the young guys that have some talent that maybe that's undeveloped or unknown, and not going to give them a chance to showcase that talent. But in general, I think the CFL does it well. Two preseason games and a lot of regular season games. And the NFL, I think, is learning from the CFL. Yeah. Hey, and they're trying to expand their regular season and shorten the preseason.
Hey, Ben, what was your first number when you went to training camp? I forgot you told me in an earlier interview. It was like a wacky number, wasn't it?
I got just given the number 32 my rookie season, and I didn't have the guts to speak up and say, what's up with this? I just was happy to have a jersey on my back. And,
but were you worried that number 32 meant that you really didn't have a chance? Because, like, 86 is a cool number. That's a receiver number. Like, you know you got a pretty good chance. I've played football. When you get 86 and you're trying to make a team, it's like, okay, they might have plans for me. 32, it's like, here, kid, take this. I don't think you're going to be here in 2 days.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you get 32, you don't even belong in the wide receiver line with 32. But thankfully, you know, they gave me a chance and ended up surviving that rookie year. Wore it my whole first year, and then after the season asked for a number change, and the equipment manager thought that I had requested 32. I said, why would I request 32? That's just such a shanky number for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a mix-up with the initial questionnaire with my apartment number, which was 32, and my requested jersey number, which would have been 86.
Yeah, I know. So, like, three Alouette numbers I remember off the top of my head. Nick Araki, I think, was 79. Ben Cahoon's 86. And Anthony Calvillo's number 13. So you definitely made that number stand out. Okay, number five in Ballsy's pick six with the great Ben Cahoon. You did coach after you played with the Alouettes. How much tougher is it to be a coach now than when you played? Like, is it tougher to be a coach nowadays, do you think, than when you were coming up?
That's a tough one. I think it's tough. I think there's just so many rules and regulations in college. You got to navigate a ton of administrative work, logging, recruiting time, and instead, I was amazed when I started coaching in college that the little amount of time that actually went into coaching and game planning. But you're working hard and you're working all day, but so much of your workload is administrative stuff and you know, compliance things and just meetings in general, let alone the recruiting, which is never ending. So that's the tough part. You get into coaching because you just want to talk ball,
yeah,
and teach kids, but there's so much more to the job than that now.
Yeah, Coach Craig Dickinson here with the Riders told me, he said, you know what, everybody wants to be a coach on game day. It's the other days of the week when you're there. Nobody's in the stadium. You're in the bowels of the stadium looking at film. You're there early, going home late. Those are the days nobody wants to be a coach. Okay, number six would be this. What does Ben Cahoon think about the CFL's future after this no season? First time since 1919 we're not handing out a trophy at the end of the year. How do you feel about that, and how do you feel about the league's future going forward?
Well, I was devastated to hear the season got canceled. I did have some questions about how they were going to make a bubble situation work, just expense wise. But the CFL is going to be just fine. It's a great league. It is full of amazing athletes who are down to earth, that relate to the community, that the community can really embrace. And it would just be a tragedy if the CFL was not around. And I know it's going to be around. I know it's going to continue to grow in popularity. And I just think it's the backbone of the league is strong, and the community support is going to be the key for it.
Okay, Ben, lastly, we've done the six. Let's do the extra point here. Now, I want you in audio form, because I used to love watching you play, because I'm a smaller guy, and I really admired how you always found a way to get open, always make the big play. One of my favorite two catches, you did one here at Mosaic Stadium where you actually physically reached. You're facing your quarterback. Your DB covering you has his, you know, he's got his face to you, so he's face guarding you. You reach around and catch the ball off his back, which was unbelievable. And the other one was, it was the 2003 Grey Cup, the one-handed catch here at Taylor Field. But I want to ask you this. Walk me through an audio form, Ben Cahoon's favorite pattern. For the young receiver listening to this podcast, give me your favorite pattern and how you ran it, if you could.
Oh, geez. Well, my favorite pattern was probably just a little 5 or 6 yard option route. We called the play money. It was called money in huddle because it was kind of our second and medium
go-to play. And it was a play that I had a lot of help with. It was kind of a play where the outside receiver, I played slot, the outside receiver would come in and kind of do his best to distract, or it wasn't a rub or a pick at all, but he would do his best to kind of just slow down the defender over me, and then I would run an option route, which is like a 5-yard in or out route. After usually Kerry Watkins or SJ would, or Tyree Davis, you know, would do their best to kind of make the defender over me hesitate.
So
but it was a double move route, so I'd get to my spot and I'd give a little juke one way and then go the other way, and so there was a lot going on with that one, with the outside guy giving a little help and with a double move for me. And then Anthony had to anticipate which way I was going to go. And usually it was a throw that was on the way before I was even out of my break. That was right on the money, right when I turned my head.
It's a blind throw in a lot of cases. And that's what I found so interesting about you guys. You could probably throw 10 balls in a pitch black room and you'd be right on the money between you two in at least 8 of those.
You know what? You're right. A lot of times, Anthony, people don't realize that Anthony threw this no-look pass a lot of times where he was looking down the middle of the field and he'd just kind of throw this sidearm pass out to the outside receiver out down by the sideline. And his eyes weren't even looking, you know, at the target. So he just kind of knew where people were supposed to be and would chuck it. And
Do you ever come back to the sidelines and say to him, "Hey, did you know? How'd you know I was there?"
Yes, absolutely. You're like, you weren't even looking at me, and he just like, you know, give this little grin, you know, smile, and just nod his head. So
that's awesome. And hey, Ben, thanks for this once again. Before we wrap up, your bar is called what again, and where can they get a hold of it?
G2G Protein Bar, definitely g2gbar.ca. And then any Circle K's in Western Canada should have it in their refrigerated fresh, like, sandwich chiller.
Awesome, man.
It's legit.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate your time. Thanks, and best of luck in this venture, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.